Well, here we are at the start of a new term. And I always feel in lots of ways September feels like the start of a new year, not just the new term. The summer break seems like a bigger divide than the shorter break that we get in the transition from December to January. And I hope you've had a lovely break over the summer. Some of you will have been overseas. At the 9:30 service, I got people's hands to go up, depending on how far away they'd been. The record was held by Jill Gordon, who had been to Australia. I don't think anyone can go further than that without going to the moon, so she certainly wins on that. But it might be that actually you've not been able to go away on holiday. But I hope that if that's the case, August has given you a kind of slightly slower pace of life, and it's let you recharge your batteries a bit. If you can think back to the end of July, you might remember that we did a short sermon series. We spent two Sundays thinking about rest, the Christian discipline of resting, if you like. And I hope you've had some opportunities to put some of that into practice, that you've had a rest and that it's been a holy rest, a Christ-centered rest. But you might remember that when we did that little series, I also said that after the summer, we'd come back and we'd think about work. We'd think about how the Christian life isn't just rest. And I'm sorry to say we come to that today. But actually, we're not going to do it quite how I had planned back in July. I had thought we'd spend some time in Proverbs chapter 6, which says, consider the ant, the hard-working ant, as it were. And I may well preach on that passage another time. But instead, what I want to do today is two things. I want to open up just a few verses of Ephesians 5. I want to focus particularly just on verses 15 and 16. And then, secondly, by way of application from those verses, I want to share something of our vision and our plans for the term ahead and your place in them. You see, Ephesians 5 calls us to make the most of every opportunity. And because of that, I want to share a bit about some of the opportunities that are coming up. So let's have a look and see what Paul said and see what he means by making the most of every opportunity. In verse 16, there is firstly a straightforward instruction about making the most of every opportunity. And then there is a reason for that instruction, because the days are evil, he says. Do you see that? We need to make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Now, what does it mean for the days to be evil? They might not look particularly evil. When you stick your head out the door, okay, it's a bit greyer and cooler and damper today, but I'm not sure that's evil. What does it mean for the days to be evil? Well, I think there are two big things that Paul really means. The first is the days are evil because they're days in which we as Christians we'll be tempted to shape our lives according to wrong values. If you were to just turn back a page in your Bible to chapter 2, Ephesians 2 is talking about how we were saved. It's talking about what Christ has done to us and for us. And just look at what Paul says. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Do you see what Paul is saying there? Let me try and walk you through it. He starts off by talking about how the world is following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Verse 2. And that's a phrase that his first readers would simply have understood to mean the devil. The world is following a course that is actually the course of the devil. And a world following that course prizes what Paul calls the cravings of our sinful nature, verse 3, its desires and its thoughts. So to put it simply, the days are evil in that following the devil, the people amongst whom we live are driven by their sinful desires, by their sinful nature. And, says Paul, that was us until God in his mercy and in his love, verse 4, granted us new life with him, verse 5. He made us alive in Christ even when we were part of that world following those desires. So we are people then who in one sense have been plucked out of the world by God's grace, but of course in another sense we still live in it. And that means that we live with the constant temptation to revert to our former lives, to readopt the values and the priorities of a world that doesn't know God. And so if that's chapter 2, we're in our passage today in chapter 5, Paul says, in the light of all of that, be really careful about how you live. Do you see that, verse 15? He says, be very careful about how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And what does that careful, wise living look like? Well, verse 16, it looks like making the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity to be encouraged in the faith. Every opportunity to grow in Christ. Every opportunity to follow him rather than the kingdom, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So it's so important that we get this. It's as though the whole human race is drifting along very comfortably in a lovely river flowing in one particular direction. And it's comfortable, everyone's having a good time. But the direction the river is going is the direction of what Paul calls the cravings of our sinful nature. And we were in that river, we were there drifting along like everyone else, until God in his mercy plucked us out. And what Paul is saying now is simply be very careful not to fall back in. And the way we avoid falling back in is by being careful about how we live, about making the most of every opportunity that comes our way to grow in holiness and in godliness. And you see the contrast that he offers in the rest of that passage in Ephesians 5? Our world, for example, this is just an example, this isn't the sum total of the whole problem, it's just an example. Our world, for example, chooses to get drunk on wine, verse 18, and I think we can assume whiskey and lager and everything else. I don't think it's just he's got a problem with wine. But the opportunity that we have to be different from that world, instead of getting drunk on wine, is to be filled with the Spirit. To give our time to praise and mutual encouragement and thanksgiving to God. Things that will lead to a far greater and deeper joy than anything you can get out of a bottle and that don't bring the hangover. So that's the first sense in which the days are evil and why we need to make the most of every opportunity. Secondly, the days are evil in that they are leading up to the day of God's judgment. So come back again to chapter 2 and look again at verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That doesn't mean that we were wrathful objects. Doesn't mean we go around snarling at each other and so on. It means that we are the objects of God's wrath. God's settled anger had all the suffering, all the pain, all the evil, all the injustice that there is in the world. People who are drifting along in that river, following the ruler of the kingdom of the air, are, Paul says, children of wrath. That means they are destined to face God's wrath on the final day of judgment. So the days are evil in that people are gladly going along with the flow of a world that has rejected God, that's following the devil, and they're not realizing that the river they're in is gradually picking up speed and heading towards the rapids. The people following the flow of the world, Paul wants us to see, are doomed in what they will face. So the days are evil in that people might have everything they want, they might be denied nothing, but they're heading for disaster. And so, says Paul, make the best use of your time. Make the most of every opportunity so that some of them might be saved through your efforts. Make the best use of time. Make the most of every opportunity to reach out to people who are being swept away towards the rapids so that a few might be plucked to safety. That is, I think, what Paul means when he's talking about the days being evil. We're under pressure to adopt the values and behaviours of a godless world, and the world is careering towards a terrible end. So, says Paul, make the most of every opportunity. So, what opportunities are there for us? Well, firstly, there are the opportunities that are simply part of what we might call normal church life. Do you notice what Paul suggests as the opposite of gratifying our sinful desires? Have a look at the second half of verse 17 again. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What better opportunity do we have to speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in our heart to the Lord, than when we gather Sunday by Sunday like this? The first opportunity to make the most of is our Sunday services. Now, for a lot of us, the way we think about Sunday services post-COVID is very different from how we used to think about them before the pandemic. The pandemic, for a lot of people, got us out of the habit of going to meet with our church family, and it got us instead into the habit of doing church privately, as we do it online. And it got us into the habit of doing church at our convenience, being able to watch it on catch-up at any time we fancy. In short, the pandemic taught us to do church without the first few words of verse 19. Do you see the first few words of verse 19? Speak to one another. That's what you can't do in private. You can read the Bible in private, and I hope you do. You can read, you can pray in private, and I hope you do. You can sing in private, and I hope you do, and I recommend the bath for its acoustics. But what you can't do is do all of this to one another in private. Church is about one another. It is about how we do things, not just ourselves, but as a family. Now, obviously, this is totally different from people who are watching online because they really can't join us, or they have concerns about COVID that quite justifiably are keeping them away, or for any other reason. I'm not talking about people who are staying online for that sort of reason. But when it's simply that we've just found it a bit easy to fit church around everything else we'd like to do at our own time and in our own way and in our pyjamas, then that, I think, is where this challenge comes. So do you see, I think the first thing we might need to take to heart from this passage is to make the most of the opportunities given us by our Sunday services. They are opportunities to be taught from the Bible, opportunities to encourage each other as we sing and talk, opportunities to pray, opportunities to do the very things that Paul talks about in this passage. We're in a world heading towards the rapids. The church is an opportunity that we have to go the other way, to go not towards destruction, but towards the fulfillment and joy and peace that is found in Christ. That, by the way, is why we're putting on a lunch after this service. You are all invited, if you're able to come, to a picnic after this service. We had hoped we might be outside, but the weather's a bit iffy, so we'll be in the church centre. We'd love you to come and share a picnic lunch with the rest of the church family. There is some fun lined up, so some games and so on, not athletic rounders outside, as we'd hoped, but some fun inside. We'd love you to come just for the one another of it. And that's also why we're getting you to wear name badges today. We're not always going to do that, but we want to encourage you to get to know people you don't yet know and to build relationships with them. because of that, we're not going to be serving coffee straight after the service. We'll simply be heading over to the centre if you can come. But it's so make the most of the opportunities that are our Sunday services. A close second to these Sunday gatherings are things like our home groups. They're another great opportunity to make the most of. And if you're not in one and would like to be, I'd love to hear from you. There are some cards at the back. You can put your name. You can tick a box saying you'd like to join a home group, and we will make that happen for you. I do understand that for a lot of people, the concerns about catching COVID are still very high, perhaps for people with weakened immune systems, or perhaps if you've been through something like what my wife Kate did and you really don't fancy that again. I do understand, but I would invite you to weigh up the, I suppose on the one hand, the risk of catching COVID, and on the other hand, what might be the risk to your faith of going without church for an extended period. I'm not trying to lay down a law, and I'm not trying to say what right and wrong is, but I am inviting you to consider those two risks. But those are what we might call the normal opportunities that are simply available to us as part of church life. And Paul would say to us, make the most of those opportunities. But let me say something now about the special opportunities that there are this term related to the mission in October. These aren't just opportunities for us to be growing in faith, but they're opportunities for us to enable the people of Morton to hear about the one who can pluck them out of the river that's heading towards the falls. Let me run through you at some of these. Firstly, if you could grab your term card, the piece of paper that looks like this, and open it up, and let me just highlight a few things. Firstly, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of the inside, where it says special services and events, you'll see it talks about the mission preparation sessions on the 7th and 8th and 10th and 14th and 15th of September. What those are is an opportunity to be equipped in thinking about how you might naturally talk to people about the fact that you're a Christian and how you might naturally invite people to some of the events that we are putting on. They won't put you on the spot. They won't be pressuring or difficult. I think you will just find them helpful and equipping. We want to run it on two sessions on consecutive weeks. So we're asking you to come on Wednesday of this week and then Wednesday the following week, or Thursday of this week and Thursday the following week. Or you can swap Wednesday this week, Thursday next week, and vice versa. On Wednesday, we'll be in the church centre because the bells will be ringing here and we won't hear ourselves think. On Thursday, we'll be in here because the youth group will be in the church centre and we won't hear ourselves think. And if you can't come to either of those, come on the Saturday morning, which will be a combined session. It'll be a bit shorter, there'll be a bit less in it, but it will still be worth coming to. This is an opportunity not to miss. Then also, if you could look over on the left-hand side on the inside, you'll see what we're preaching on over the next few weeks. And you'll see that in the next 3 weeks, starting next week, we're going to be looking at just a few short verses from Colossians 4, 2-6, and seeing something of how Paul was talking about the church in Colossae and how it could further the gospel. And then after that, we'll be looking at a passage in John and then a passage in Acts. Both of them are about Philip, and seeing how Philip shares his good news with other people. So that's by way of preparation. Please make the most of those opportunities to be prepared for the mission that's coming up. But then we have the mission itself. And if you could turn to the other bit of paper, the one that looks like this, I'll just walk you through that so that you know what's coming and what might particularly be of interest to you. The main events on it are the ones happening in the evening at 7:30. And these are interviews. The mission is being led by a guy called Roger Carswell. He's a very gifted evangelist. And he's going to be interviewing a few different people about their story. So on Friday the 14th, he's going to be interviewing Sir Matt Baggett, who was chief of police in Northern Ireland. So has a very interesting story about how God was part of his work there. Then on Monday the 17th, Alan Barnett. Alan Barnett inadvertently found himself as a young young, as a teenager, as part of Saddam Hussein's human shield. And he has a wonderful story of how God led him through that. And then on Tuesday the 18th, Yvonne Edwards. Yvonne is someone who, for whom life was going well. She had what she wanted, great family, job, so on. But hidden from everyone was a problem with alcohol and drugs that led her to rock bottom until she was in hospital where she met Jesus. So those are kind of, if you like, the main events. We've then got a few other things in addition to those. Claire mentioned the special Friday Club tea on the 14th, at which Roger will be speaking. I've been to some of the Yorkshire teas that he does, and I strongly recommend them. He's kind of sponsored by Yorkshire tea, so you get mug of Yorkshire tea. There are Yorkshire tea teapots, there's Yorkshire tea bunting, and he basically talks everything Yorkshire, and he makes sure there's Yorkshire food. Have you ever had what's called a fat rascal? He tells me it's definitely not a fat rascal, it's a fat rascal from Yorkshire, but in Morton it's probably a rascal. It's fun, and there's lovely stuff to eat, and he does a wonderful talk, talking about Yorkshire, but then talking about how God has used Yorkshire, and how the number of missions sent out from Yorkshire, and he then kind of segues from that into the good news of the gospel, and it's a wonderful way he has of kind of getting under the radar and talking about Jesus in a very accessible way. On the Sunday evening, we have something slightly different. We have an old friend of mine, a guy called Chris Wilder, who used to be a physics teacher, but he is also a magician. And actually, magician has become his kind of full-time work since. He is brilliant. It will be a thoroughly entertaining evening of illusion and mystery and all of that sort of thing. But he's really interesting because his background in physics enables him to talk about how do we know something's real? What is illusion and what is truth? And as part of that, he talks about his own story of how he came to believe in Jesus. So that evening will be a lot of fun, but also really helpful and significant kind of talk, as it were. Couple of other smaller things that we're doing. On the Tuesday the 18th in the morning, this is something I'll be doing in here. It's a musical morning. We'll be having recorded music rather than me trying to sing. But looking at some of the similarities and differences between Handel and Bach and their music. They're a similar part of the world, similar sort of time, but actually some quite different things in their music. And I'm going to try and show how actually I think that reflects different understandings of God and a conviction of the joy of the gospel and of the weight of sin. And I think you might find that quite interesting. And then on Wednesday the 19th, at 4 o'clock in here, Andrew Dow is going to be doing a talk on the painting Light of the World, and he can tell you more about that if you'd like to. So that's the only other thing I haven't mentioned is on the Saturday morning, a family fun morning. This is for family with young children. There'll be games, crafts, snacks, and a talk, and a lot of fun. So that's what's kind of going on. Those, again, are opportunities that I would urge you to make the most of, opportunities not to miss. Now, we have got loads and loads and loads of these flyers. There are some on the table at the back. There are loads in the vestry. Would love you to take them and use them to invite people to come. Don't necessarily feel you want to try and invite someone to everything, but you might think, oh, this neighbour might be interested in that event, or that friend might be interested in the other thing. Please make the most of it. During that week and in the few Sundays afterwards, our services will be very guest-friendly. They will all be designed for people who don't normally come to church. And we'll be offering something like Christianity Explored, probably Christianity Explored, as a follow-up course for people that would like to find out more. Might be that you would like to help with that, perhaps either hosting it in your home, hosting a small group in your home, or by helping lead it. If that's the case, we'd love to hear from you. Now look, I've spoken for quite a long time, but what we've seen, isn't it, is Paul urging us to make the most of every opportunity because of the state of the world we're in. We have opportunities Sunday by Sunday, week by week. But also this mission gives us some particular opportunities. Opportunities that don't come around every term. They don't even come around every year. It's a bigger occasion than that. So please, would you join us in making the most of it? Let me pray as we close. Father, thank you for what we've seen in your word. Thank you for how in your great love and mercy, you have rescued us from the river flowing in such an unhelpful way. And Lord, please help us to make the most of every opportunity that comes. Opportunities for us to grow in faith and love, but also opportunities to share the good news of Christ in Morton. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.